faithfulness in the lives of his people who are willing to follow him no matter what it costs. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to keep what he cannot lose. That's exactly what Bert and Sandy McDonnell have done. They are people who gave what they cannot keep so that they could gain what they cannot lose. And I'm sure that they're going to share with you how the Lord has been faithful to them in this last missionary stint in Haiti. And we're going to encourage them to come forward just to share with us for a while. And at the end, I'm just going to share a few thoughts from Psalm 18. But Bert and Sandy, come and share with us what the Lord has been doing through you and in you while you have been in Haiti.
Change by me. I come back here and it takes me 3 weeks to finally Here we are, September 24th, packed, ready to head to the airport. All the possessions that we could take for a 3-month stay in Haiti packed into these bins. Flying in, Bert was sitting at the window and me next to him, and we realized, here we are. The next 3 months are in God's hand, as all of our lives are, and we were just excited for what the next 3 months held. We stayed in Port-au-Prince for the first 3.5 weeks. This is a picture of actually the entrance into the house we stayed at, which is beautiful, and I would call it a respite for weary travelers. It's a guest house that is used either to begin or end the trip. And as we go along, you'll see some pictures in Port-au-Prince that don't show a pretty picture like this. So one of my first tasks was bread making. That's not really the nicest picture, but anyway, we were having fun. I was a little bit stressed before I left. We were heading to a city, or a community anyway, that has no grocery store. So that meant I was going to have to learn to bake bread, and that was not a task I had ever set my mind or my heart to. So Sherry, my missionary friend, she taught me how to make bread, and God doesn't lead us mile by mile, but he leads us step by step, and there we go.
Some of our first duties when we get into Port-au-Prince, the area that we're in, both Russ and Sherry, they do look after this guest house, but Russ is the main mechanic for the whole Free Methodist Church, plus other organizations. He does all the maintenance work. So these are actually 5 vehicles that are brought in. A lot of them look newer because it was just after the earthquake, they're repurchased. But maintenance is a big thing. Like when you're there, you have to rely heavily on it. Like this is, I'm just putting on the snorkel, which allows us to go through some of the riverbeds to get to a couple of the communities.
This is just an interesting shot that was taken in Port-au-Prince, chickens off to the market. Motorcycles are used a lot. And of course, their biggest method of transportation. And that would be an example of a basket that's of fruit and vegetables that they could have on their head. Which, by the way, Bert and another gentleman had trouble lifting. They're heavy. Port-au-Prince, the streets, which you can see are dirty, they're chaotic, vendors everywhere.
This is actually about our first week there. We actually were requested if we would head out to Desolate. There was some equipment that we had to purchase to go out there. And this is just coming down off the hillside.
That may be a day's work for someone there. Here's an example of the guest house. We're hosting a team that was ending their stay. They've been out in Desolate.
This is just some of them. There's a few pictures like this. This is actually in Port-au-Prince, and it's basically one house built on top of the house on top of the house. It gives you an idea of what would happen if there wasn't an earthquake. It's just straight pickup sticks. And this is just one of the areas that had fallen. It's actually being rebuilt.
Can everyone hear us?
No.
No?
Oh,
you
got something.
All right. One of my first challenges when I was down there, there's actually a university that's, the new university that's probably about an hour away from here. And what had happened was they, in trying to re-bring it back up, because they were having problems with it, the rope that they had on it broke, and with a 250-foot well, and it had actually, it had only come up 200, so it fell back down. I had to go down 50 feet, but the problem was trying to extract it. So we were desperately using our
trying to find springs. But, you know, you start going to where do you get springs? What has springs in it? Most traps, pants, bolted, and actually it worked. We actually used it, and here it is. That's the first, we put it down there, and within 5 minutes, we were actually able to get a hold of the pipe. And this is the result after the full day. And interestingly enough, I just want to tell you, none of these people are actually employed. These people just came up to help us. So we spent the day with them.
This is just as we're coming back from the grocery store. This would be a very typical scene that you see in Port-au-Prince. You can see their housing is very meager. This wouldn't be classified tent city that we hear so much about here in North America. This is just a row of housing and a dried up riverbed that houses a lot of garbage, goats and animals run certainly freely. This is a seasonal riverbed that Bert and I were headed somewhere early in the morning, and we went across it, and all of a sudden I couldn't get my camera quick enough, but the cows were just like a train would come here. The cows were headed towards the front of the vehicle and they weren't stopping, so we had to wait for the cows to cross.
Just another picture of this.
So this is the mixture of our missionary team down there, and I have a little laser I found out. So this is Ian and Alice Van Norman. They have been wonderful friends to us and mentors while we've been in Debeline. They've served in Haiti for 30 years. They are probably the most generous couple I've ever met in giving out of their means. They're wealthy people, and they just could really be doing anything, and they have chose to be in Haiti. Russ and Sherry, who run the guest house, of course, Bert and I. This is a pastor who's through the support of a few churches in Michigan has a dental and eye clinic that he is in the process of opening down in Debeline. And this is Dr. Dan and Dee Dee Snyder, and they bring med teams into Debeline. They have been full-time missionaries in Haiti, but since the earthquake, they come in just on stints. One of the main streets of Port-au-Prince. This is a site for a Compassion Canada school that Ian and Alice are instrumental in. Bert and I were blown away, actually, when they took us up here. It is in a very, very impoverished area of Port-au-Prince, and when they told us there was going to be a school there, it was hard to fathom. And you can see the houses in behind it. Okay, so we've arrived in Debeline. This is the mission compound of the apartments where we stay. Our apartment, these would be our two living room windows here. And there's our living room. So we were very comfortable. We had no complaints. These two little girls, actually last year, you probably remember us talking about the Sister's House Project. They were part of the family that lived there, and they were sponsored to go to school by the Van Norman's grandchildren, so they just wanted a picture of them with their uniform. That's a typical family scene. This is at the Sister's House, and that amount of people is normal. There's 18 people that live in three rooms, which would be 10 by 12 each, Bert said. So this little girl here, we found her sleeping on the porch, fevered and unable to move her legs. So we're in the process of getting her showered off so we can get her to the hospital. all love boot. They can't say they're ours, so bird and boot. At the hospital, at the nurse's station, New Life. This is actually on the hospital wall, and it is the mission program of Desilene to evangelize, to educate the population, and to heal the sick.
This here was, it's quite, this is the day after Hurricane Sandy went through. And my first week and a half, you know, Desilene was like, we got there and it was like hitting the ground running. There was so much stuff that needs to be done and prepped for the hurricane, trying to get things straightened out. And I was really getting quite discouraged by the fact that you know, my quiet time in the morning came 5:30, 5 o'clock, 4:30, 4 o'clock, and it was just basically I was slipping out of time. And even this morning, I was asked early in the morning if I could switch my jobs and be a driver. And I was reminded of one of the things that we had set out to do. We said, saying no matter what, the Lord has in store for us. Whether we're to, you know, hold a flashlight for a pastor in a blackout or carry a Bible, that's, you know, Lord use us. So this day it was to go to the clinic, which very quickly became very touching. When we got there through rivers and creeks and basically four-wheel drive trails, we came into a clearing, and this is what we were met by people that from three different villages that come over the hills to meet here. And as they were prepping up, one of the Christian doctors began to give his testimony, his life, which very quickly reminded me of, I know people knew me talking about my pennies, and I thought, you know what, I brought these pennies down to remind me of the lost souls. And as he talked about it, I said, I didn't even put them in my pocket yet. So when I went back that day, I put three in my pocket. And when Sandy and I were able to come back out in the afternoon, we found out that through conversation between the nurse and one of the patients, that actually him and his brother came to know the Lord. And as they discussed this to us at our time after dinner, I told them about my pennies. And interestingly enough, I said, I still have a third penny, but I was quickly reminded that there's always one more. Mm-hmm. And the next team that came down, actually, I told them that story. And very quickly, evangelistic team that came from New Jersey, right? Like they were really concerned that, of course, New Jersey was affected by the hurricane. They went back with quite a few Canadian pennies, and the very next night I now had six more pennies in my jar. So a total of nine converts that we know of Christianity. Good time.
This story, this was a project that the guys were involved in Desilene. It was a community project, more than a hospital project. But this young girl, she's 26, her name is Kristlyn, and when she was 14, she went to the States to have a very large tumor removed off of her face. It's a little hard to see maybe on the picture, but she is disfigured and just a beautiful spirit. And what had happened, missionaries that were down there earlier, she was maybe 10, only saw her with a covering over her face and wondered, why is this girl, this young girl, walk around covered? So one day, one of the missionaries who was a nurse asked her, and when she pulled back her scarf, she had a huge tumor growth on the side of her face. So they took her to the States and had surgery done on her, and it's been, she's 26, so about 8 years since she's had the surgery, and it is just amazing. But we have met people. people that were willing to support her, and that was how the house got built. So this is the start of a housing project for her, so that she's not able to work too much, and it was a blessing on both ends. It was a blessing for her and for us, for sure. So start. And these pictures do go in chronological order, so you'll just see the housing continue as we go through. Kids are so cute. And of course, if you're white and you have a camera, you're their best friend. Long, photo. This is one of the young guys that Bert worked with. His name is Yodi, and his three children. And he has quite an interesting story. Yodi is 30. He has 14 brothers and sisters. This is his mom here. She's 42. So she had Yodi when she was 12. This is his baby brother here, who is about 9 months old. He, unfortunately, is the only breadwinner in that family. So he works extremely hard. He's a wonderful guy. And we certainly tried to help him, both in his Christian faith and, financially in ways that we could, because, he's at a disadvantage. That's a view from his house. His wife cooking on the front porch. This is another one of Bert's fellow teammates, co-workers. Squatters on the mountain where these houses, Yodi's and Kim O'Shea's house, we just showed you, these houses are built. They don't own the land, they just clear a space up on the mountain and build there.
This is actually, they used to always play soccer inside, and this young guy, he spent a whole Monday taking a whole soccer field to all this sand he got. He was a little bit disturbed that I would drive across his soccer field in the middle of the road. But he very quickly dodged everything and drove around his field. He gave me a quick thumbs up. But he did when I got back, I said I'd give him a ball. And every day I couldn't see him after that. Finally, this was the day I gave him a ball. Unfortunately, it's just like every neighborhood, that ball only lasts like 2 days for him before someone stole it off. We'll just continue on. This is just, Chris and Lynn's house, the foundation. More of it keeps on going. This was another project. Earlier we talked about the eye dental clinic. This is actually across from the hospital. And now the pastor is down for a few days. They really struggled to try to get this thing off the ground. So he asked if I would take this on as a side project. So both Ian and I took it as a challenge, and we just went ahead with it. This is one of the views from the actual field up. There's five forts there. I'll talk to you about that later. Thanks to another co-worker that I've befriended, or a really good friend. Can you go back? I'll talk to you later about this, but I wanted to see these two guys are actually building her a septic tank. And if you notice the guy with the pick, both of them are bare feet. And they easily, they spend the whole, like, this was the start of 3 days' work.
This is at the chapel of the hospital. The fellow on the left is Chaplain Bronx, and he meets with the patients at 6:30 in the morning when they line up to be seen by the doctor. So that gives them a time to share devotional with the patients and to pray with them before they go in. This is just the two guys on the right are medical team that were here sharing the story. Actually, Jeff and Missionary Sue on odd occasions take a little break, and Bert and I have the opportunity to go out to a resort, and we spent a Saturday afternoon out there, which was a really nice breakfast.
Anyway, this was, we talked about the five forts, and we're just going with the doctors, and we're actually all supposed to be going to church that morning, racing up the hill, because it gets very hot in the day. Well, as we got to the first fort, we're deciding to turn around, I talked to Yogi, and he asked me if he would go on, because it's a beautiful, windy day, and we kind of had the sense that we've always wanted to do this, but if there was ever a time that this was time to go, because normally you're totally soaked at this point in time, and a lot of guys barely make it up to the so anyways, it was just a wonderful time of reflection. We shared it with each other, and the Lord provided a beautiful wind, and as you see the next few pictures, just some outstanding views of the countryside. Looking down the village, it's actually a doctor's residence, and then we're back to more pictures of the house.
Some community children where Bert's where they're building for Crystalyn, just having fun playing. This is our house girl. I've had it really good. I certainly can't complain. Geraldine showed up at about 8 in the morning. We shared breakfast together. She spoke no English, so it was certainly a little tricky, but Google Translate worked well, so if I had things I wanted to ask her, we could translate it. She didn't always understand because my accent is certainly different than theirs, but she was a great girl that provided me with housekeeping and laundry, and that's just a cultural thing there. We did our own cooking, but that's what she did. And she has two young boys that we were able to help send to school because she didn't have the means to do it. Her husband doesn't work, so she's the only one that has an income in that family. More community kids. This is an interesting picture. When they started to build the house for Crystalyn, they had nowhere to store their tools. You can't just leave them in the open or they will be stolen. So this mattress that you see leaning against the wall is actually from a house just down the little hill there. And this family were willing to take their mattress out of their house. They moved out of their house so that we could use it for a depot and lock it up and store our tools. So that's their mattress just laying there, representative of a a wonderful community atmosphere that they just share with everyone. More new life. That was a two sisters that had babies, and they were more than happy to have us hold their babies. Any minutes? That was the mission actually owned a beach house, so it was just so we had a quick afternoon picnic and some little bit of time in the ocean on Sunday afternoon. That's a typical street scene. Christmas. These are two great people that I work with at the hospital. Doing the admin work at the hospital certainly wasn't without its challenges. We did have a language barrier. So if we really needed someone to communicate fully, we had to bring a translator in. Jacques, who's sitting at the desk, he spoke some English, so we could get by. But got there October 20th to Devonie. They had let the bookkeeper go actually the end of July. So things were a bit behind, and it took quite a bit of computer work and just working on the books to get things back in order. This is a story that it's close, near and dear to our hearts. On November 29th, we woke up through the night to the night guard yelling, "Vole, vole," at the top of his lungs. Kurt and I darted out of bed, and we didn't know what vole meant. It's Creole for thief, thief. And there had been a break and enter in Alice and Ian's apartment through the night. Three computers had been stolen. They did take some cash. And, it was certainly an unsettling time for us, but an amazing time of God's hand of protection and mercy over our lives. The outcome of the break and enter could have been very different, but we certainly experienced God's love through that. This was the day of, or the day after, and the outpouring of love that we saw from the people that worked with us, the pastors, the hospital staff, was absolutely incredible. These two pastors on the left were drove from Port-au-Prince, which is over a 3-hour drive, to pray with us, to sing with us. They were in our home for about 40 minutes, and then they turned around and drove back. And that was, for us, an excellent reminder of why God has us here. And, we know going into places where there's extreme poverty and desperation that there can be danger. And but God has us here to show his love to the people. And they certainly let us know that they appreciated so much us being there and serving them in that way.
This is my good friend Silligan. We met last year. He was actually, and I can say it the way it is, he's just the guard at the doctor's residence, but he very quickly became a good friend. He was basically, he is unbelievable and unbelievably smart. I was kind of told that a lot of the jobs that you're doing are kind of North American and not to try to teach the Haitian. He worked beside me as my helper very quickly. Within a day or so, he was actually doing the job that I was doing. And we got to learn. I would try and learn Creole, and he would English and everything we did. The problem is, he would get it, I wouldn't. He would automatically say it in English, and I'd be going, yeah, right. I left in my Creole book, and he speaks really good English now. And when we got talking with one of the doctors, he had actually asked, do you think he could go off to school and then to university? And he agreed that we should try and pursue it. And through the with Van Norman, he actually, he's now finishing his grade 12. He's 30 years old, and finishes grade 12. He wants to be an engineer or a doctor. After the incident at the compound, he was very quickly, he had heard about this in Port-au-Prince, and he got feedback from one of the doctors to share his side. And at the same time, we actually had a Bible. He had come to church with us a few times, and when he said he's in Port-au-Prince, he was trying to find a church that he could get to know the Lord a lot better. Mm-hmm. So this is just us sharing problems.
children. That's actually Yoni's children. There's Chaplain Ross in one of our language lessons. He would come to the apartment, started out twice a week, and I think because Bert and I were slow learners, he dropped it back once a week. Anyway, we can say a few things, and I'll ask Bert, if you remember me.
Yes, I love Jesus.
He said, yes, I love Jesus. So I asked him, do you love Jesus? And he said, yes, I love Jesus. Chipet, I think I mentioned earlier that Desaline has no grocery store, so we would get our supplies in Port-au-Prince. Generally every 4 weeks we went in, and Chipet went to the market, which is on Wednesdays and Saturdays in Desaline, and she would make our fresh market purchases of fruits and vegetables. I tried to put that bag that she was carrying on her head onto mine, and oh my goodness, I didn't last very long. They are heavy.
This is right after the break that we started realizing, actually it was through the workers. My workers meet me at the job site across town at 7 o'clock, and they had somehow, whether probably their cell phones, they had actually come to the compound, all of them, at 6 in the morning. They were very devastated that we were actually... this is Francine. He said, I can't believe that someone would do this to you. You're so special to us. Anyways, I asked him that day if he would, if he wanted to work. And he said, no one wants to work. We're all upset. And then there, to turn down work, it's unbelievable. But they literally walked town to try and find people that accept. And with Yoli, he was determined that I should walk the whole compound and up the streets to find all the security breaks. And one of them was the road. There was the fence had to be raised up. They needed razor wire. A lot of this was just damaged through time. You take it for granted quite often. Your security down there has been there for 30 years. Even this gate, only a 4.5-foot gate. Most people around there have a 10 to 12-foot gate that should be raised so people can't see in on us. But it reminded me, or us, throughout this time that even, when we're walking the perimeter and how we let our guard down, and we weren't really that concerned with security, how we do that same thing with our heart. We went through a time down here that we felt, are we really doing any good? Are we, is this ever going to change? Are we just wasting our time? And as I said to Sandy, I think just like the perimeter was being broken, our hearts were, we allowed the devil to start deceiving us that we weren't needed. And it was through this time in the community that just changed us.
Just to add to that, Bert, we actually met with Pastor Jacques Castiana, and he shared a little analogy with them, which I'll just broaden on. We let down the guards around us. We don't maybe aren't spending as much time in the Word, in prayer, and just like we can have a violation of security that way, we allow Satan to find a foothold in our life when we don't stay strong in the Lord. So it was a very good lesson for us. And the Lord used numerous. Anytime we got discouraged, God was just there with encouragement for us in so many different ways that all we can say is our time in Desaline was certainly a blessing. We wouldn't say it was without its challenges, but the Lord blessed us greatly. You see, the girls, they don't tend to smile. People in general don't tend to smile because that's a sign of weakness. So they really are happy people, but when you get the camera out, it's hard to get them to smile. These are some hospital pictures. So this is the courtyard of the hospital. Maternity is on one side, and on the left-hand side, you would go into a general ward, ER area, operating room. Perimeter of the hospital. One day, I have to tell kind of it's a funny story. I don't have a picture because I didn't have my camera, but Alice and I, where those umbrellas are, we came out after a day of work at the hospital, and we were rounding the corner to head up to the compound, which is about probably a 7 or 8 minute walk. And just as we rounded the compound, this little old fella, he was about, maybe 5 foot, he had a huge bag of rice on his head. He was in shorts and rubber boots, and he had his pig that he was taking along like we would walk a dog on a leash. And it was bonsoir and bonsoir. And I said to Alice, I have to pinch myself. Am I really here seeing this? But it was cute. I wish I had a pet that can. He was a cute little guy. Pharmacy at the hospital. That's the chapel. They wear the patients go in the morning. That's just some standard housing outside of the hospital compound. Actually, I think before I go any further, I'll let her tell you a little bit about a project that's going to start at the hospital.
When we first got to to Devon Lane, we met with the administration, and what the goal was to find a location for an X-ray room. And when we met with them, we found out that USAID, the hospital has actually achieved good maternity excellence, and they were rated third maternity in all Haiti, which is quite an honor. But to upgrade the facilities, USAID stepped in and said that they were willing to. USAID doesn't do any new construction, they do renovation, but they were willing to reconfigure the maternity for them. So we looked over the drawings there, and we were kind of set back a little bit trying to figure out how we were going to add this X-ray room on, where it's going to be located, and try to understand the plan that was kind of going ahead, because it didn't seem to really have future plans for the hospital. But through meeting with the engineer and asking him if we could supply him a bigger area to work with, would you be able to, do you think USAID would buy into it? So we're actually in the process right now of doing that. And what we're actually looking at, we were asked if I would, when I met with the engineer, if I would drop some plans of possible ideas, which we presented the week before we left to the administration, which they were very enthusiastic, because not only did it fix their problems, we were able to, when USAID came, they were able to run the hospital like normal, take care of a lot of the problems that they had existing. But the future thing is we hope to have it placed by next fall is in this garden area. Over the time that we were there, we talked to the med teams, the need for two operating rooms, an X-ray room, an emergency room, and the list kind of went on that there's no real post-op, pre-op, sterilization. So is this all going to happen? So with reworking the plan, we were able to come up with, I think it was a half-decent suggestion, and they were quite moved. Not only did they get what they were looking for, but they were able to secure some of the hallway space and the real sterilization problem that we have. We literally, in this area right now, you could have chickens and dogs and everything running through there, and that space that goes between there, you have a table right after someone went to mom in an operation.
And Bert, in his humble nature, said he thinks he came up with a half-decent plan. I have to tell you, he spent hours and hours on the computer after he came home from work designing these plans. And the hospital administrator when they presented, we were in a meeting, and they were so thrilled and tapped out with the administrator. He takes his shirt and he goes, "If this goes forward, this will make me look good." So they were very happy with the plan. So we just look forward to that construction moving ahead in January. So you can pray for the hospital, the staff, and everyone that will be working on that in that regard. This is just some pictures of at the compound. One of the problems was second floor apartments didn't have security bars, so it's in the process of building those and installing. And these ladies all are ladies that serve us in wonderful ways, in our apartments and for teams. So Alice and I took a Saturday morning and we had a little Joie Noël for them, Christmas joy, and we did some Christmas baking and presented them with that, and it was so cute. The girl on the end beside me, she tried to get up to, pour more coffee. I said, no, sit down, we're serving you, and that was just such a foreign concept to them. And to have baking as well, they certainly, most Haitians go on one meal a day, which would be, a simple meal of rice and beans, and they certainly would have no means to do any, decorative baking with cookies and that sort of thing. So we had fun doing that with them. More Crystalline's house. And there's the finished product, and a very happy girl that she now has a secure house to live in. Cute little boy on the side of the mountain.
This is our last Thursday there, and this is how the Lord works. In the plan, which is the day before that I met the administrator, that the one problem that you have to deal with is this is a big diesel tank that's at the back. There's a generator that's in the way, and this this container, which is not just your normal container, it's poured concrete on top and the floor, so we had to remove this, and they were trying to remove this for the last 6 years to figure out how. That Thursday, the next day, very next day, there's two generators, and one of the generators that's in the way, blew. And amazingly enough, through God's provision, a generator that was supposed to be in June cost $44,000 that would meet the needs of the church became $22,000, which was sold that same day, which meant it was another one about an hour away that had $7,000 worth of options, and they said we could have it for near $20,000. So very quickly, we were able to get something of massive value for next to nothing. That's it. It's just amazing how God works and how the team that's around me fit into doing a job that said couldn't be done before we left. And we were trying to do it in, originally it would have been 3 days that was forced into another day and a half. And the crew just dug in and did whatever it took to move it. It was the new generator going in.
This is the current maternity ward as it sits now in the hospital. So I believe there's six, maybe seven beds in there. And this is, one of the upgrades that will be happening, and it will actually be moved if the plan, the bird design goes forward, which we believe it will, into a new building. So it will just make the, give them more room and more privacy, which is a great thing. This is one of the young guys that Bert works with, and he and his girlfriend had this baby. He certainly searching, and we're just really trying to show him God's love. And what happens a lot in Haiti is a wedding is a big ticket item, and you have to do it right. Like, you don't get married unless you can have a big deal. So unfortunately, a lot of them just don't get married. They, you know, just carry on with life so until they can afford it. He's only 19 and his girlfriend's 18. So you can pray for Nick, because, you know, he certainly needs the Lord in his life, and we just pray that God uses us to help show his love.
I guess this is our last picture, but like I showed you in the beginning, most of the guys that I'm working with don't have proper foot there. So when the generator came out, I asked Russ, could you make his sizes? It's funny because I kept asking guys, size your foot. And that probably quite even hit half of didn't even know their size. Oh, I'm size 13, I'm looking at 8, 15, 9. Anyways, even this guy here, his size was, he asked for 10, which I gave to him, which I think he's like maybe a size 6.5, 7. And, but I was able to buy 10 pairs of shoes for him, so we kind of felt this Operation Christmas work with him. And he could be able to share Christmas with them, and a lot of them really took it at heart that if you were there, we really appreciated that. We were taken back that we even offered a gift.
So that does end our slideshow. I just have a little bit more that this scripture actually that we'd like to share with you. Can I just get okay? So we shared with you about the break and enter that happened, and through that break and enter, our small group actually at home with Aki and Ulu, we've been studying Romans, and Bert and I were on Romans 8 at that time, and it just became very, very real to me as Bert had already left for work, and this was probably 2 days after the break and enter, when I read the verses from Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I had to really examine my heart and look at that, because I didn't want to be in Haiti and just be doing lip service to God. If I was going to be in Haiti and I was going to be in a dangerous situation, which we knew we were going into, and we knew, you know, what the dangers were, that I had to be convinced that I would give it all up for Christ. And that verse, those verses have just meant so much to me, and have worked in my heart. And when we talked to many of the Haitian people that we worked with and that we loved, they were sure that we would leave Haiti after the situation that happened. And we were convinced then even more that God had us there for a reason, that God would use us where he needed us, and that we had to be ready to give it all up for the sake of Christ. You know, many may think that's radical, returning to Haiti with joy on January 14th. We're leaving to a week tomorrow, and we look forward to going back for 3 months and serving Christ in whatever way he has for us.
Just one last thing I was just reminded of, as Sandy said, that one of my boss names, name's Francine, he speaks pretty good English, but sometimes his accent throws him off. But he's a very, speaks God in everything he does. I remember just shortly after, he said to me, you're a good, very good vessel. Vessel, what's a vessel? And then as I understood, he said, vessel. And he said, you know, like in the Bible. And I said, a good vessel. He said, yeah, like God made people for different purposes. And he said, you're a really good vessel. And I said, oh, thank you. And as I pondered that, I kept thinking to myself, and I still just keeps reflecting on what type of vessel am I? My beautiful vase that sits in the middle of a counter or a table that are a mantle that people admire and look at, and I'm like a safe in the wall where I can store up my worldly goods and hide behind a picture, or even a refrigerator which I can hold the nourishment of the world. But as I pondered it, I said, Lord, I just want to be your pocket. Just use me for whatever you want. Fill me. I'm a done replacement. Thank you.
Praise God. I'm not going to keep you for long. I'm not. Bert and Sandy, thank you so, so much. I wanted to share just a few thoughts to Bert and Sandy, but this also applies to all of us as God's people. Two thoughts from Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. David says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. There's just two thoughts I want to share with you two guys as you prepare to go back. Number one, God is to be your delight. He is to be your delight. David says, I will love the Lord. And that's talking about an intimate love to Christ, like a mother's love for her infant child. So as you go back, make sure that you can say with David, I will love the Lord. He will be my delight. Not only does David say, I will love the Lord, but he also says, I will lean on the Lord in Psalm 18, verse 1, because he says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And so you can lean on Christ. Not only love him, but you can lean on Jesus Christ with a small childlike faith, trusting in him. As the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So your first thought I want to challenge you with, and all of us as God's people, God must be your delight. But the second thought I want to challenge you with is this: God is not only worthy of your delight, but he's also worthy of your dependence. And I just want to share five or six characteristics in Psalm 18, verse 2, as to why you can depend on him. Number one, he is your stability, because David calls him my rock. He is my rock. So God is your stability. He's also your safety. Because David says, not only are you my rock, but you're my fortress. So I can run and hide in you. So God is your stability. He's your safety. He's also your Savior, because David calls him my deliverer. So God not only saves you from your sins, but he will save you in terms of all the trials that you're going to face. He's also your sovereign, because David calls him God, or El, the Almighty God. He's in control even when life doesn't make sense down there in Haiti. You need to remember that God is still sitting on his throne. He's your strength, because David says he takes refuge in him. He's your shield. He protects you from the storms of life. He's your security, and he's also your supply. He will meet all of your needs. I want you to meditate on Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2 as you prepare to go back, guys, and take those characteristics that David gives. Make sure that God is your delight, that you will love the Lord and lean on him, and make sure that God is your dependence. Remember that he's your stability, your safety, your Savior, your sovereign, your strength, your shield, your security, and your supply. So you're not going alone. You're going back with him. And then we as God's people need to be praying for them. We need to also rejoice in this great God that David says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Just all stand up and we'll just close our service tonight. Just join hands together. I'm going to pray from here. But we'll just join hands together. We just want to invite you at the end of the service to meet us out back. We do have a fellowship in the fellowship room, so I'm sure Bert and Sandy will want to talk with you. They're going to be here next Sunday morning. The elders are going to lay hands on them in the service. Also, if the men could just do one quick favor before the men go out to eat, if we could just move these chairs to the back of the room to set up for the seniors meeting on Wednesday, that would be great. Let's pray. Father, we say with David tonight as your people, we do love you, O Lord, our strength. You are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, the God in whom we take refuge, our shield, the horn of our salvation. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we have that immovable rock in our lives, yourself. Lord, thank you for what you've done in Bert and Sandy's life. Thank you for what you're going to do in their lives as they prepare to go back. Father, as I even shared tonight, as Jim Elliott said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to keep what he cannot lose. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray your grace to be with them. We pray, Lord, that as they go forward, that they would say, I love you, O Lord, my strength, and that they would find their strength in Christ. And we pray that as a church, we would continue to pray for them. And Lord, help us to love you as well and serve you well. So Father, we thank you for this day. We pray now as we prepare to have a fellowship together that you would bless this food, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If the guys could just help move the chairs, that would be great.